Hello, this is Deb Zuver for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Community Connections. For the next half hour, I will be reading from websites and announcements, profiles of individuals with blindness and low vision, and opportunities to connect with your community. We'll start with announcements. While most Governor Moorhead School students were home enjoying their first week of summer vacation, two students volunteered to represent the GMS North Carolina Business Committee for Education and the Braille Writer Repair Technim from GMS at the Governor's Mansion in Raleigh. GMS was one of only three schools statewide invited to attend and speak at the luncheon. The students spoke before a group of business leaders representing Lenovo, Apple, Caterpillar, Inc., Verizon, and many more. The students shared their experiences about working with their team, including what was most challenging and what was most rewarding. This opportunity was extended because of how well GMS has prepared them for communicating and interacting with others in a professional environment. A special thanks to the parents who brought their students to Raleigh over the summer and entertained themselves while the students attended the NCBCE luncheon. This would not have been possible without dedication and support. At the NCBCE luncheon, the GMS student representatives got an opportunity to interact with the business leaders and chat with Governor Roy Cooper. The attendees at the luncheon were so impressed with the students that they shared this information about the students and their team with their colleagues. As word quickly spread, the Braille Writer Repair Tech team received an invitation to attend and speak at the North Carolina Digital Government Summit coming up on August 15. As stated in their website, the summit brings together technology-focused public sector professionals. The City of Raleigh Special Recreation Inclusion Services has a newsletter. Explore exciting new and returning program offerings and browse a full list of current program offerings, including year-round programming and special events. Go online at reclink.com. reclink.raleighnc.gov. Search SRIS under keyword search to get started. And registration for fall programs from September through December opened on July 31st. So you can contact them to sign up. If you want to participate in other City of Raleigh Parks and Rec programs and need additional support or have questions, call at 919-996-2147 or email sris@raleighnc.gov. They are also asking for your help in tailoring their programs to meet the needs and interests of the community. You can complete the Leisure Interest Survey to share activities, events, and recreation opportunities you'd like to see. Your feedback will help. Not too much time left, so complete it by Friday, August 7. And again, you'll find that at the website. Two exciting opportunities coming up is the Challenger Football with SRIS. That's going to be Thursdays, September 10 to October 29, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's for ages 7 through 35. You can experience the excitement of Challenger Football. It's a partnership with the Carolina Panthers. Participants of all abilities will learn skills, build teamwork, and celebrate the joy of sports in an encouraging and inclusive environment. Save the date. Also, kayaking, Saturday, August 29 at Lake Wheeler Park. It's from 10 a.m. to noon or from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. for ages 16 and above. Enjoy a day on the lake. Adaptive kayaking provides a safe and fun experience for all abilities. Let's move on to our profile section. This time, we are going to look at sports. Iconic blind football moments to relive during the FIFA World Cup. As the FIFA World Cup gripped fans worldwide, you discovered the best of blind football at the Paralympic Games. From Brazil's dominance to France's golden moment, these are the matches that have defined the sport. Blind football first featured at the Paralympics in Athens in 2004 and has featured at every Games since. As the FIFA World Cup 2026 captured global attention, the Paralympic version of the beautiful game continues to impress in its own way. Fast, physical, and fiercely competitive, blind football has produced some of the most unforgettable moments at the Paralympic Games. From dramatic penalty shootouts to Brazil's long-standing dominance, the sport has showcased the best of para sport. And like the World Cup, it has its icons, its rivalries, and matches that have been talked about for years. So here's all you need to know about blind football. It's a throwback at some of the greatest blind football moments at the Paralympic Games. So let's start with Paris 2024. France's historic run on home soil. France made history at Paris 2024, winning their first ever blind football gold. While the FIFA World Cup shining a spotlight on the world's top football nations, France's blind football team added another remarkable chapter to its story at the Paris 2024 Paralympic Games. Playing under the lights of the Eiffel Tower, the hosts became only the second nation to win Paralympic gold. Just 2 years after the FIFA World Cup in Qatar, which saw France and Argentina face off in the final, France defeated the Argentina 3-2 on penalties following a 1-1 draw. Frédéric Vidal-Roux scored a winner in a penalty shootout and celebrated with thousands of French fans. Also in Paris 2024, Argentina and Brazil's golden streak. Argentina beat rivals Brazil 4-3 at Paris 2024. In football, few rivalries match the intensity of Argentina and Brazil. The South American giants have faced each other four times, both at the FIFA World Cup and the Paralympic Games. In the finals of the Paris 2024 Paralympic Games, Argentina ended Brazil's hopes of a sixth straight Paralympic gold medal. After two scoreless halves, Argentina won 4-3 in a dramatic penalty shootout. And in Paris 2024, Colombia shine on Paralympic debut. They advanced to the semifinals. Just like emerging teams capture the imagination at the FIFA World Cup, Colombia made a statement on their Paralympic blind football debut. Led by Juan David Perez Quintero, Colombia advanced to the semifinals, announcing themselves as a rising force in the world of blind football. At the FIFA World Cup, there were four nations, Cape Verde, Curaçao, Jordan, and Uzbekistan, making their debuts on the biggest stage. In Tokyo, back in 2020, Morocco made blind football history for Africa. Zuhair Snizlas scored an impressive 8 goals. As African teams continue to make strides at the FIFA World Cup, Morocco created history in blind football at the Tokyo 2020 Paralympics. They became the first African nation to win a medal, claiming bronze just 5 years after their debut. Zuhair Snizla was the star of the tournament, scoring all 4 goals in a 4-0 win over China in the bronze medal match and finishing as top scorer with 8 goals. A year later, Morocco also made history at the FIFA World Cup 2022, becoming the first African nation to reach the semifinals of the tournament. They finished 4th. You Here's a profile of the U.S. Association of Blind Athletes. USABA was founded by Dr. Charles Buell in 1976 with the purpose of improving the lives of people who are blind and visually impaired. That year, 27 young men and women were selected to represent the United States in the first Olympiad for the disabled in Toronto, Canada. As a result of this Olympic involvement, a group of national leaders, educators, and coaches of the visually impaired met to discuss the need for an organization to structure, promote, and sponsor competitions for people who are blind and visually impaired throughout the U.S. Today, USABA has evolved into a national organization that provides sports opportunities to thousands of children, youth, adults, and veterans who are blind and visually impaired. USABA programs serve athletes of all ages and abilities, from local grassroots programs to the elite Paralympic level. USABA is a Colorado-based 501c3 nonprofit organization that provides life-enriching sports opportunities for every individual with a visual impairment. A member of the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee, USOPC, and U.S. Soccer, in January of 2022, USABA received certification from the USOPC to become the official national governing body for two Paralympic team sports, goalball and blind soccer. As the national governing body, USABA is responsible for meeting the obligations detailed in both the USOPC bylaws and the Ted Stevens Olympic and Amateur Sports Act, including establishing procedures to ensure continuity of international, Parapan American, and Paralympic Games programs for the sports. In addition to serving as the national governing body for Paralympic sports of goalball and blind soccer, USABA provides athletic opportunities in numerous other sports, including but not limited to track and field, Nordic and alpine skiing, biathlon, judo, wrestling, swimming, tandem cycling, and powerlifting. Developing a wealth of sports opportunities allow people who are blind and visually impaired to develop independence through competition without unnecessary restrictions. Like sighted people, the blind can share in the thrill of victory and the reality of defeat. In addition to providing people who are blind and visually impaired with athletic opportunities, the second part of USABA's mission is to change society's negative stereotypes concerning the abilities of blind people as well as other disabled individuals. Combating stereotypes is achieved by both educating the public through various media avenues, as well as by training athletes to enter schools and community organizations to directly address disability issues. Blind soccer is exhilarating to both play and watch. An adaptation of the world's most popular sport for athletes with a visual impairment, blind soccer is fast-paced, physical, and technical. Blind soccer players need to have speed, strength, and stamina, as well as excellent spatial awareness despite their lack of vision, allowing them to be effective on the pitch and play together as a team. The sport is played in more than 60 countries and has become the fastest-growing Paralympic sport in the world. In January 2022, the U.S. Association of Blind Athletes, USABA, received the highest level of certification from the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee to become the national governing body for blind soccer, a sport in which Team USA will make its Paralympic debut as the host nation of the Los Angeles 2028 Games. USABA began its blind soccer programming in 2018, and in 2019, USABA became a member organization of U.S. Soccer. Soccer for the blind and partially sighted originated in schools for people with visual impairments. Spain is considered to be the pioneer of the sport, having started play in the 1920s. In the 1960s, there was activity in Brazil, that held its first national championships in 1974. Without a governing body at the time, each country played according to different rules and with varying balls, pitches, and playing surfaces. However, as the game grew, friendly international tournaments were held. In 1996, after decades of development by individual countries, football was taken under the wing of the International Blind Sports Federation, the IBSA. Internationally recognized rules were developed ahead of the first major international competitions, and IBSA moved forward with two disciplines, blind football for B1 athletes and partially sighted football for B2 and B3 players. The two groups still compete separately today. With a set of rules in place, the first IBSA Blind Football European Championships and IBSE Partially Sighted Football European Championships were both held in Barcelona, Spain in 1997. The hosts became the first ever champions in both tournaments. In the same year, the Blind Football American Championships made their debut in Asunción, Paraguay. Brazil claimed the win, proving their innate ability on the field extends to more than just sighted football. 1 year later, at home in Campinas, Brazil captured the first IBSA Blind Soccer World title. In partially sighted football, the opening World Championships were also held in Campinas, Brazil. Belarus made history as the inaugural winners of that tournament. Blind soccer debuted at the Paralympic Games for the first time at the Athens 2004 Paralympics and has been contested at every Paralympic Games since. People are often surprised by how quick, physical, and technical blind soccer is. That's what makes it such a hugely popular sport. The game is played on a solid, smooth, flat, and non-abrasive surface on a pitch that is 40 meters by 20 meters wide. Pitches must ideally be outside to ensure that the acoustics are correct for the players. Each pitch is surrounded by kickboards, a physical barrier that indicates the boundaries of the playing area. The goals are 3.66 milliliters wide and 2.14 milliliters high. Each team has five players, including a goalkeeper. Outfield players must wear eye patches and eye shades, more commonly referred to as blindfolds or eye shades. The goalkeeper can be sighted or partially sighted, classified as B2 and B3, and cannot leave the area. The ball must contain bells or another system that ensures it makes a noise when it is moving on the pitch or through the air. Four players are allowed as substitutes and one goalkeeper. Substitutes can be made up to six times per half. There are no offside rules or throw-ins in blind soccer, but there are corner kicks. Each half lasts 20 minutes, and teams can request a one-minute timeout per half. If there needs to be a winner of the game, for example, during medal matches, penalties will be taken. The first ever Paralympic final was decided on penalties when Brazil beat Argentina 3-2. The Lighthouse Guild was officially formed in December 2013 when Jewish Guild Healthcare and Lighthouse International combined to become the leading not-for-profit vision and healthcare organization in New York. Drawing on more than 200 years of combined service, with histories dating back to 1914 and 1905, respectively, Lighthouse Guild's experience is extensive. And here's a story of one of the participants, Amani. A dream has been in my heart for as long as I can remember, she writes. When I was just 11 years old, a social worker at Lighthouse Guild asked me, what do you want to do when you grow up? My answer then is the same as it is today. I want to be a teacher. Without Lighthouse Guild in my life, I would not be this close to making my lifelong dream come true. Lighthouse Guild has supported me in so many ways along this path. When I started college, an instructor came to campus with me. They helped me learn to navigate with my white cane, find my classes in the cafeteria, and feel confident moving independently. It hasn't always been an easy road. I started a master's program once before, but I wasn't ready and I walked away. Although my heart had been set on this dream for as long as I could remember, my head was spinning. I had trouble focusing, and the pressure to succeed took a toll on me. For years, I worked hard in other jobs, but I knew I wasn't living up to my full potential. I felt like I was letting myself down, and my family too. Last year, I decided to take a leap of faith and return to the classroom. I interviewed for my current program at Dominican University, and had it not been for Lighthouse Guild, I would not have had the courage to try. That leap changed everything. I am now a member of Kappa Delta Pi, the International Honor Society for Educators, and I expect to graduate in 2026 with a dual certification. Recently, math tutoring with Teresa at Lighthouse Guild gave me the refresher I needed as I prepared for a New York State teaching exam. We reviewed skills that had gotten rusty after several years. Converting fractions into percentages sounded simple enough until the numbers were right in front of me. Thanks to Lighthouse Guild, I spent only a fraction of the time stressing over the math portion of the exam. Each experience has given me the tools and confidence I need to succeed. Now I'm on track to graduate in 2026 with a dual degree in childhood education and students with disabilities. Every step brings me closer to my dream, becoming a teacher of the visually impaired. The independence, resources, and encouragement I've received at Lighthouse Guild have shaped me not only as a student, but as a future teacher determined to empower others who are blind or have vision loss. Michael is another participant at Lighthouse Guild. Michael writes, I've been part of the Lighthouse Guild community since I was a kid. I have X-linked retinoschisis, a rare genetic disease that has made me legally blind since birth. Growing up, Lighthouse Guild wasn't just a place where I received services, it became the foundation for everything I've accomplished. Now, as a specialist at Apple, it's clearer than ever how valuable Lighthouse Guild has been throughout my life. In middle school, I started participating in the Saturday Youth Program, learning skills like cooking and meeting new friends who shared my experience as a blind person. Eventually, when I got older, I interned with the youth program, teaching those same skills to younger children. That experience showed me I could take what I learned and give it back to others, foreshadowing my career now. When I got to college, I studied computer engineering, and I discovered Lighthouse Guild's Tech Pals program. Tech Pals is where younger people with vision loss like me work one-on-one with older adults with vision loss, helping them navigate technology and build independence. I had to apply and interview just like a real job, and honestly, that process itself was invaluable. It married my passion for technology with my place in the low vision community. One of my favorite experiences was working with an older woman who had a quiet demeanor. At first, she wasn't excited about learning about new technology. I understood that hesitation as someone with low vision, too, and sometimes people can't help but think, why do I need to learn this? But I helped her see that there's never a cutoff age to learn something new and that learning can make life easier. Week by week, she opened up. She started using Zoom on her phone, shopping for things online on her own, even ordering new lights for her home to help her see better. Before, she relied on her daughter for these tasks. Now, she can do them independently. Every week, she'd come in with a smile, excited to learn what was next. Watching her transition to independence was one of the most touching experiences of my life. I was honored to help give that to her. Tech Pals taught me how to work closely with someone, learn their personal needs, understand where they are in life, and meet them there. It wasn't just a Q&A session. It was about listening, asking open-ended questions, and having real conversations. Those skills have been the foundation for my role now as a specialist at Apple. Every day at Apple, I work with customers to answer their questions, teach them about accessibility features, and help them find the right products and services. Just like in Tech Pals, my goal is to connect with a stranger, make them feel comfortable, and show them I'm here for them. I'm not trying to oversell. I'm listening, learning about their individual needs and goals, and helping them based on what they actually want. Lighthouse Guild didn't just prepare me for this career. It showed me that low vision is a part of my story, not a limit on what I can achieve. After all the years I've spent at Lighthouse Guild, I'm proud to be part of the low vision community. Lighthouse Guild gave me the skills, confidence, and a sense of purpose. Tech Pals showed me that helping others navigate technology isn't just about the devices, it's about giving people independence. And now, every day at work, I get to carry that mission forward. And now we'll turn to arts. This is from the National Library Service. Everyone has a favorite book they revisit regularly. Maybe it's a collection of poems or fairy tales, a literary classic or beloved children's story, or something practical like a cookbook or crochet instruction manual. If you're a National Library Service patron and Braille reader, NLS can help you have your favorites at your fingertips. Through our Braille on Demand program, you can request up to 5 books a month in hard copy Braille to keep indefinitely for your personal use. Choose from any of the tens of thousands of Braille titles available on BARD, the NLS Braille and Audio Reading Download website. To request a Braille on Demand book, use the NLS Braille on Demand request form, Eternal. You may complete the form yourself or contact your network library or ask an LNS librarian for assistance. If you have questions about Braille on Demand, email brailleondemand@loc.gov. Here's a look at some of the most popular titles requested by patrons. 175 Essential Slow Cooker Classics. American School of Needlework presents the Great Granny Crochet Book. Berlitz Self-Teachers Italian. Braille Music Reading, Cooking Without Looking. Dinosaurs Before Dark, Magic Treehouse 1. Fairy Tales from Hans Christian Andersen. Green Eggs and Ham, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Joy of Cooking, Leaves of Grass. Little House on the Prairie. Little Women. Merchant of Venice. Mere Christianity, Nothing Fits a Dinosaur, Pride and Prejudice, Kittage Through the Ages, Waiting for Godot, Where the Sidewalk Ends, Poems of Shel Silverstein, Wonder, and Wrinkle in Time. We have run out of time for today's episode of Community Connections. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Deb Zuver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of the program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Community Connections is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments, questions, information, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. That number again, 919-832-5138. Your comments and ideas are most welcome.